Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio, the show where the host is too lazy to even pronounce so-so accurately. This is the most amazingly average to almost slightly better than mediocre broadcast that will be sure to astound you with impressive interviews and talk. Blah, 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 blah. Are they gone? Good. You can never be too careful. Illuminati spies are everywhere. But thankfully, they have notoriously low attention spans, and so it was necessary to fake them out with that utterly boring intro. Sozo is, in fact, a secret code word for soteriological bliss and existential ecstasy that can only be found in relationship with and in childlike abandonment to our loving Heavenly Papa and our Master and Commander, the Good Shepherd, and our salvation, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. I am your host, Daniel Lovett. Let us embark upon a glorious adventure, exploring the depths and mysteries of Christ, one interview at a time. SozoTalkRadio.com. All right, and we are live with Doug Overmeyer and his website, SearsC.com. You get that right away. So this is, of course, Daniel Lovett of Sozo Talk Radio, and we are talking today about seeing into the spirit realm. So we're going to talk about how this fits in the scripture, how this fits in your life, how we, you know, should refrain from judgment of those with the gift. All kinds of things are coming up here. And we're going to share lots of amazing stories. So stay tuned. And be sure to subscribe. You can go to SozoTalkRadio.com and subscribe to stuff there, or SearsC.com. You can subscribe to Fringe Radio Network. All right, just subscribe. All right, Doug, are you there?
I'm here. How's it going?
It's going great. Yeah, I'm excited about this topic. I'm excited about bringing this to the world on this platform. So, Doug, you've delved into this gift of the Holy Spirit to, you know, be what it is to be a seer. I'd just love for you just to unpack that for a little bit and just tell us, what does it mean to be a seer?
Yeah, what does it mean to be a seer? A lot of people hear that word and they think someone who sees into the future. And that's normally not how I refer to it. In fact, I hardly ever refer to it as the ability to see into the future. The seer, or the word how I refer to it and how it's normally referred to it, just generally, is someone who can see in the spirit realm. They see spiritual things. Mm-hmm. They see spiritual things. Now, that spiritual things might have something to do with the future, but normally it doesn't. It often does not. So, what does that mean? These are just people. They're just, and they're all over. There's lots of people who can see in the spirit realm. They see there's a whole continuum of this ability. On one end, there are people who see very clearly. They see demons. They see angels. Mm-hmm. They see little monsters. They can see like weapons in the spirit realm, and they can see sin. All right, they can look at someone and know what their sin is. They're usually their secret sin. They can see like things like cancer. I mean, they can just see it. It's in the spirit realm, and it's like they can just see it. It hits their eyes. It's not in their mind's eye. It's not something they know in their heart. It's something they actually see. It's really weird. On the other end of this spectrum, it goes. It's more dim, and so there's people who maybe they can't see quite so clearly, but then maybe they see shadows, or maybe they can just see. Like, I know one guy, whenever he sees like balls of light or balls of dark coming out of people's mouths as they speak. So just for instance, he was at a church and the pastor was saying something, and a ball of light came out of his mouth and hit somebody in the congregation who was like sort of sat up. You know, and so like Revelation maybe was hitting that guy. So this is what he was seeing. Yeah. Another time he was just out in the world with his friend, and this ball of light hit him, hit this guy, came out of nowhere, hit this guy he was talking to. And he asked, hey, what did you just get, like understanding something you didn't know? And the guy's like, yeah, I did actually. I've been thinking about something and now I understand it. And how did you know that? And he's like, well, I saw you hit. But also he sees when people are cursing someone or talking negatively about someone, he sees like a ball of darkness leave their mouth and go into the atmosphere somewhere. And I would bet that lands on the person they're cursing or they're speaking about. So that's just another example. Yeah. And there are just, I mean, there's a whole continuum, man. Some people on the most dim of the seers, they see mainly like in dreams. And so in dreams, the whole spirit world comes alive to them. And and so it's all the way across.
Oh, yeah.
Spiritual things are revealed to these people. And some people are born with it. In fact, I think a lot of little children are way more – they're way more susceptible to seeing in spiritual things than adults. And there's various reasons for that. But other people, it comes on to them after they have a spiritual encounter. So this guy I've worked with, his name is Mark. He's, I think, in his 40s or 50s. And all his life, he just recently became a Christian last year. And instantly he could see in the spirit realm. And he had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit, and now he sees all the time, and he sees very clearly, and it freaks him out. And so we've worked together quite a lot. But so it's they're all over. I am not a seer. I don't see anything in the spirit realm, but I've researched this because we've had it in our family. Someone in this ability, and in our efforts, my wife and I, our efforts to figure out what in the world our kid was seeing. How it related to scripture, how it related to reality, you know, we started just doing a ton of research. And exactly. Eventually I launched this ministry to help other people.
Well, that's wonderful. It actually, like, I was actually doing some research on your website, just kind of checking out some of your podcasts. And as you're describing, you know, what a seer is and stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, that describes me. I mean, I've had a lot of these encounters of seeing demons and angels and all kinds of spiritual things. So I mean, I almost assume like most people did. So it's like,
right. You know? Yeah. That's like, yes.
And I'm sure your daughter. Yeah, exactly.
She was stunned that we were not reacting to what she was reacting to. Like, you know, forever she thought it was just normal. And that's, you know, I have hundreds of interviews with people. And well, they're like, oh, I thought all along everyone else could see these. And then I learned to shut up. You know?
Yeah. You know, and here, one thing I wanted to talk about right away was like the difference. Okay. So there's like seeing in this, into the spirit realm, but also there's like seeing like metaphorical, like pictures, like dream, more like a dream thing. Like I firmly believe, having done research, that heaven oftentimes speaks to us in metaphors, of course, in dreams and in visions. Right. Like Joel 2:28 says, then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Wow. All people, all flesh. Mm-hmm. Yep. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. And so seeing visions, dreaming dreams, this is part of the seer thing, and it says it's on all flesh, on all people. And so I think that we all, you know, we all dream, whether we remember it or not, you know. Mm-hmm. We can ask the Lord to remember the important ones, right? Mm-hmm. Or and maybe forget the nightmares. I have some nightmares too from time to time where the enemy comes in and he's trying to meddle with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just that distinction between actually seeing into the spirit realm, like, okay, there's actually a demon over there, or like seeing like, you know, if you ever watch Sid Roth at all, you know, there's tons of stories on there of like, I just caught one the other day. This guy's on a plane and he's talking to this guy next to him, and he sees in written up above him, writing gift, you know, or like writer.
Mm-hmm.
And so he prays about it, and he's like, finally talks to the guy and he's like, I feel and sense that God has a writing gift on your life. And the guy just totally opened up, and I think they had he just had a powerful encounter with God in that moment, because this seer, you know, related to them something of the heart of God to him. And as it turns out, he was writing a novel but gave it up, and he's trying to just make it in the business world or whatever, do whatever you have to do to make the living. But God just wanted to remind him of what he was made for. I thought that was just so beautiful.
Yeah, and that's what prophecy is. A lot of people think, again, prophecy is about predicting the future, but really prophecy is calling sort of someone, calling God's heart for someone.
Oh, yeah.
And in that case, it's calling God's heart, like he called this person to be a writer. And so that was God's heart. Is that predicting the future? No, it's God, but God's heart for that person is writing. And it's up to the person to step out into his or her calling.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, I have a friend. She used, when she was in high school, I used to be in youth ministry, so I worked with a lot of kids for a while. And when she was in high school, she would see spirits all the time following people. And she used to quietly pray against these things that, when she would see like a demon following somebody. And it hardly ever responded to her prayer. And often it reacted negatively to her physically, like she'd get sick. And she, so when she, as we built a relationship, she opened up to me that she could see in the spirit realm. And she asked about that. And I said, you know, you're not supposed to be clandestine. You're not supposed to be do secret warfare. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to go up to the person, indicate what you're seeing, and then ask for permission to pray. And you can do that in sort of language that isn't, you know, not accusatory and not too weird. You can do that in a way that is has like disclaimers.
Yeah, to like love the person.
Yeah, you know? Instead of saying, you have a demon, do you want to be set free? Or thus saith the Lord. And, you know, no, it's like, so I coached her a little bit, and then she came and she shared this a story with me where she was at the mall, and she saw some man sitting on a bench at the mall, and she saw a demon behind the man, and she discerned that the demon was depression, okay, a demon of depression. I'm not saying every depression is demonic, but in this case it was. And he, so anyway, she went up to him and she said, this is going to sound kind of weird, but I feel like you're struggling with a spirit of depression, which is a great way of saying it. Like she was being very literal, but he just interpreted it sort of as, yeah, I am kind of struggling with a spirit of depression. How'd you know? She said, well, God told me. She said, and can I pray with you right now to get free of the spirit? And he said, sure. So they sat together and they prayed together in the mall. She bound the thing. She broke the assignment, cast that sucker out, just like we taught her, and the thing left. Wow. And he just lightened up, like his light of the Holy Spirit started to shine. She can see that too. It started to shine more clearly through him. And he said, wow, that was amazing. And he turned out this guy was a pastor.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
And then he said, well, can I pray for you too? She said, well, sure. You know, and so they had that little kind of that. That is a perfect use of that gift, right? Of that ability.
Yeah. And was it off air? We were talking about just this spirit of depression over America, even, you know, like this despondency that Jesus really wants to speak to and bring joy, you know, bring some joy to drive out all that depression. You know, I talk a lot about that because I struggled with a demon of depression for 7 years. It was, I liken it to like my soul was placed in a prison in hell for 7 years. I've been 10 years free from it, you know. It started out with a little pinprick of light, little hope, and, you know, lit in my heart. I was like, oh, you know. But yeah, it was very demonic during all that season. I mean, I was just tormented all the time, harassed like Saul, you know. And I actually turned to music to like comfort myself, or like to, I found great solace in music, you know.
Yeah.
Just like David played for Saul, you know, I became a musician during that time, actually a worship leader, and was ministering to myself a lot, you know.
Yeah. Well, so for the listeners who don't know the reference, I mean, a demon, an evil spirit had come on King Saul, and David was, he just was a musician, I guess, in the court maybe. But whenever David played, the spirit left.
Yeah.
David stopped playing, the spirit came back. And,
yeah,
you know, that kind of reminds me of a time I live in a small town in central Illinois. And every year there's this psychic fair, like a new age psychic paranormal convention in town. And every year I've sort of helped coordinate a booth, because Christians don't go to this thing, apparently. So we said, well, we're going to have some representatives of King Jesus here, and so we set a booth up there in the middle of the psychic fair. Usually, the first few times they put us in the corner, you know, where we wouldn't hurt anybody, but this last time we were right in the middle, and it was totally awesome. And We just pray for people, right? So like if you go to the psychic fair to get like a reading, well, we'll give you a reading. We'll give you a reading from the Holy Spirit, you know, we'll interpret your dream, or we'll pray for healing and we'll speak God's heart into people. So we use the language of people there, but you know, we're just ministering. We just tell people, like I had a psychic come up to me, a psychic medium. She came up to me. Mm-hmm. And she's waiting actually for one of the girls on our team to give her the quote unquote reading. But I just went up to her and I said, "Are you here for a reading?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay." And I was a little bit intimidated because here she is, a psychic medium at another booth, but she came to us. And I said, well, first of all, our medium is Jesus. We believe he's the only way to the Father. And she was taken aback, like, oh. I knew there was something different about this place, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And it's okay. And I just waited for God's word for her. And what it was, I don't know why I'm sharing this particularly, but I'm going to go ahead and share it.
Okay.
It was, God's heart for her was, you have received a lot of hate from Christians.
Hmm.
And that is not God's heart for you. They're supposed to be the conduit of God's love. They're supposed to be God's representatives, right. And God loves you. He does not hate you. And she just started crying right there.
Yes.
She said, I have received a lot of hate from Christians.
Yeah.
They have judged me and condemned me. And I said, that is not God's heart for you. God's heart is love. He loves you. He's been after you. He's going to keep going after you until you turn to him.
It's awesome. A prophetic word, you know? That's God's
heart
in that moment.
And I didn't see anything on her, you know, but I'm a seer, but that's, but we're there ministering to people. And I remember why I mentioned this, because you mentioned the music. I had one of our team members who was a worship leader. I told him, bring your guitar. You're going to worship. You're going to play right in the middle of this psychic fair, this place that is celebrating the domain of darkness. We're going to celebrate King Jesus. You know, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit. And so he was like, oh, I'm so intimidated. I'm like, just do it. You know, and he got this guitar out. He brought it. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, right? And it just, and it just like an oasis of light hit our area. And one of the guys on our team was a seer, very clear. He sees very clearly in the spirit realm. And so it was very helpful to have someone like that on your team, because he was just, this guy. A lot of the people who are very gifted in this, not only can they see the spirit on you, they sometimes get a download of like what's going on with you. Like it's the Holy Spirit just releases, you know, we call that a word of knowledge, but they get it. They can get your whole life story, boom, like that. And, you know, if you have some secret sin you're struggling with, that can be intimidating. And some of these people are rejected by like pastors because the pastors are intimidated by that. But in this case, he could just see the darkness and he could see the light shining through. And it's just awesome to have someone like that on your ministry team, especially in a place like that. And when we left that we were there Friday night and a Saturday, Friday night when we left, I was just realized how exhausted I was. And he said, oh yeah, you were completely under attack. You were completely surrounded, you know? And you know, like you had your shield up, nothing could get you, but it's just tiring. Yeah, it's just time.
Yeah, I've been in some serious battles with demons that have exhausted me. Like I felt completely spent to the point of collapse on the ground, you know, fending off like demons of terror and stuff. Now, what I've come to though now, I'll tell you, it's been just glorious, like learning how just to rest in Christ, you know, because greater is he who's in you than he is in the world. Once you know what you're packing, like you have the Trinity, the set up camp in you. Okay.
Yeah.
You think that anything can stand against the Creator. They had to ask permission from God to mess with Job, you know?
Yeah.
And God gave them very clear directions of what they can and can't do. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anything that you're facing, yes, it may be allowed by God, but it's for your good, you know, in the end. For your good, because we think of terms in terms of just this life, but this is just like less than kindergarten, you know, to compared to what's beyond and what God has in store for us next, you know. This is boot camp.
I would say too, though, that the enemy is real.
Oh yeah,
and it is vicious, and also, you know.
But I've come.
Not everything that happens is God's will, but God can walk with you through the really awful situations. He can be your rock. And without that, you know, I would have
Yeah.
Without that rock, I wouldn't. I've been through some stuff, or I wouldn't be here now. Without him to set, to rest on and to rest in. While you're being buffeted, you can still rest in his peace. You can still have joy while through horror, you know. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, there's suffering, and the enemy is vicious. But we are the conduits. I mean, man, my goodness, the creator of the universe can rest in us, you know, through faith in Jesus. That should just be, that should give us a peace of mind whenever we just understand who we are in Christ, what he has done for us, and that we are his representatives. And that, like, when we went to that psychic fair, we didn't go militantly. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't go like Elijah. Elijah on Mount Carmel when he called down fire. You know, we're under the new covenant where we go like Jesus and we're representing, you know, the Lord, like, hey, God loves you. Mm-hmm. You know, but I've done all these horrible things. That. Yeah, I know. That's why Jesus died on the cross. You know, it's like, I don't deserve it. Yeah, I know. That's why Jesus died on the cross. You know, like, mm-hmm. you don't know what I've done. Yeah, I know, but that's why Jesus died on the cross.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus died 100%. He was 100% dead. So nothing you've done, like, outweighs that. You know what I mean? Like, it's if you think that your sin wasn't covered, then Jesus, you're saying Jesus didn't really die, but he died.
Oh, I'm so passionate about that message too, that there's no one beyond his reach of redemption. You know, I get to play concerts pretty much every day, you know, in nursing homes all over this area. And one song I play from time to, well, it's kind of an upbeat fun song for them, is Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, you know, and I like to say, that chariot will swing as low as it has to for every last one of us, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and find salvation, you know?
Yeah. And it's awesome.
Yeah. His heart beats for the lost. I got to share about the prodigal son today. You know, I share some songs about that. And I mean, I'm always like on the verge of tears. Like, I'm going to literally just burst into tears in front of all these people, you know, when I talk about the fact that God's left the lights on for us, you know, that he's waiting and watching for us to turn for home. And when we do, he runs out to meet us, scoops us up in his arms and twirls us about, and he'll never shame us. He loves us so much. He'll never shame us for anything we've done. It's forgiven and forgotten. So we need to be good receivers of that and learn to just accept that and move on in full faith and assurance of what he's plugged us into. It's pretty amazing. So,
well, yeah, when God looks at you, if you're a believer, even if you're a really crappy believer, if you're a believer, even a little bit in Jesus, when God looks at you, he sees someone who is eternally alive, who he has made righteous, who he has made holy. So why don't we believe what God says about us instead of the lies that maybe our parents or our spouse or people on the internet or, you know, our boss or all the lies that have been told to us that tear us down, that we're worthless, we're not good enough, that, you know, we're better off dead. All these lies. Mm-hmm. That's what they are. They're lies. They're lies from the enemy. Yeah. Instead, let's embrace what God says about us. And when we can start thinking that way and then calling that out to people, I tell you, you know, that is the church's message, is that God, that is the mission for Christians, to tell people God paid the penalty, so he's no longer mad at you. Mm-hmm. Why don't you turn to him and embrace, like, real life, true life and true love? Yeah. And I see, you know, we see people who are despondent and they do terrible things, and it's like, man, someone should have reached that person with this message of hope, mm-hmm. okay? This message that I don't care what's been said about you. I don't care what you think about you. What does God think about you? Mm-hmm. And he loves you. And so let's trust it. Let's believe it. And then not only do you believe it, let's act like it. Let's act like we are God's representatives.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you walk it out, it shows that you really do believe. Now, I'll tell you, one of the most life-changing moments in my life was just sitting at a stoplight. I'd prayed to understand grace because I didn't have a clue. You know, I was still kind mm-hmm. of working, healing from my depression or whatever. But the Lord just spoke to my heart at a stoplight, and he said, Daniel, don't you know I created you to love you? And it was just, flipped a switch. It was like, oh my gosh, okay, I've created to be an object of your affection. You know, I'm your beloved son. And whoever's listening to this right now, you are God's beloved son. You are God's beloved daughter. He searches out, you know, just read Luke 15. Jesus shares three stories to emphasize this point. You know, the woman in the lost coin searches until it is found. And the shepherd who goes out leaves the 99 sheep to go in search of the one. And all of heaven rejoices when you come home and when the prodigal returns. So turn for home. You're going to meet open arms of Jesus. And the Father's going to run to meet you. So I just want to share a couple verses about, you know, back to topic on this seer topic. Mm-hmm. A couple of verses about why it's important to see, and the way that God wants you to, and also why it's very important not to claim that you can see when you really can't, just to humble ourselves. Yeah. Jesus said this, he said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that those who do not see may gain their sight, and the ones who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and asked him, "We are not blind too, are we?" Jesus replied, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now, because you claim that you can see, your guilt remains." So it's just important to just be humble, you know, and just ask for that sight. You know, there's a prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians, Ephesians 1:18. You know, 19, he says, "I'm asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge of him. I ask," here it is, "I ask that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe." So that's just beautiful. What that says to me is that exactly what we're talking about, knowing that we're loved by God. That's what he's saying. Why is your heart being enlightened? To know the hope of your calling, to know how loved you are and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Like we're part of a body now, you know, that God loves and that he inhabits, and that we're supposed to get along as Christians and believers, kindred spirits in this thing, right? Loving mm-hmm. each other deeply. And we're all parts of this body and we're different parts. And there's another scripture I just wanted to highlight. I was doing a little research in the mm-hmm. Bible about this. In 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, our bodies have many parts and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yet, yes, there are many parts, but only one body. And then it mentions this. It says, the eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." You know, and it's talking about how each part is vital and important and special. You know, I think it even says in here somewhere, if the whole thing were an eye or something. Oh, yeah. How strange, yeah, if it only had one part. So being a seer is like being part of that eye of the body of Christ. You know, you're yes. the seer. Yep. You're the seer
yeah, for the and body if you're of Christ. Not, if you're not the seer, that's okay. I mean, I often yes. have people write in or contact me, I want to be able to see spirits. And, you know, to be honest, most seers would argue against that. Like, no, you don't. You really don't want to be able to see the dark yeah. side. You don't want to be able to see spirits, yeah. to be honest. And people, I want this ability. I want this gift. I'm like, no, work in the gift. I mean, yeah, you can ask the Father for that gift.
Yeah, sure.
But work Go in ahead. The gift that you've been given. Exactly. All right. Steward what you've been given and maybe the Lord will give you something else.
Yeah,
but that's just let's not esteem one gift over the other because they're all important. So, yeah. You know, an example of another time where I had a couple of kids who came to me in youth ministry, and they were not part of the youth group, but they've been playing with a Ouija board, and so had mm-hmm. Unlocked something, and they were highly demonized.
Oh, wow.
And word was out that our youth group was the place to go in that situation. And so some kids brought them, and at the right time, at the end of the service, we always spend time praying for each other. the kids were taught to pray and prophesy and pray for healing and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had these two kids who were demonized into another room, because in case there was a scene, I didn't want to glorify the enemy. So I had them in another room, and it was a guy and a girl. And I prayed for the girl, and the spirit manifested, and I cast it out and led her to Christ. Boom. It was real fast. She was ready to go. This other kid, he started manifesting. He was shaking, and I was getting frustrated. I couldn't tell what was going on. Nothing was happening when I was praying. And this guy I mentioned earlier, who was at the psychic fair, my friend who's here, he happened to be in the building at the time. And so I sent for him. His name is Jerry. I sent for Jerry because I knew he was a seer, and he could see what was going on. So, like, other kids were wanting me to pray with them, and so I was getting impatient. You know, like, sometimes deliverance takes some time, but I was getting impatient. Other kids wanted my attention. And I couldn't tell if this kid was really demonized or faking it. And, you know, I just couldn't tell. And so then Jerry walked in, and dude, it was like Braveheart, man. I mean, he came with his eyes were big, and he had been praying in tongues, I think. And he was came right in like, spirits, watch out, you know. And he sat down in front of the kid, and I'm like, okay, good. And I Jerry, this is all yours. I went out to deal with everyone else, but the kid was sort of shaking for a while, and then Jerry looked at him and said, there's nothing on you. And the kid said, well, it left when you walked in. Stop shaking. And he stopped shaking. Now sit up. You know, like, all right. Now let's pray, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. Was the kid lying? I don't think he was lying. He was definitely oppressed when he came in. But probably that spirit said, oh, okay, I'm out. You know, when Jerry walked in.
Yeah.
Jerry was full on warrior mode. But
that's cool.
It was. Another time I was praying for some other kid, and he was not ready to let the spirit go. Okay, like he had a spirit with him. He was not ready to let it go, and I went ahead and prayed against it, and the thing pushed back at me. Like I felt it. It pushed me back several feet. And this other student was in the room, and she was there watching, and she was a seer. And I said, I looked at her. Did it just hit me? Like I'd never felt it physically like that before. And did that thing just hit me? And she said, yeah. And she made like an uppercut motion, because the thing hit me in the chest, but you know, with her fist. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I said, game on. And she said, no, Doug, you always tell us, wait till we're ready. Wait till he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
When he's ready, because if you cast it out, then it could, if he's not ready, then it could get worse. I'm like, okay, you're right. You know, I just, like you said, that pride thing you said, humble yourself. Like, I was a little mad that this thing actually came against me, and I wanted to show my authority there in church. I thought, no, you're right. The kid wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to submit his life to Jesus. And so I'm like, okay. We're going to wait. And I told him, we're going to wait. When you're ready to give your heart to Jesus, then this thing will go. And he said, okay. And so that was a good reminder to me. And you know what happened? The next day, the kid texted his friend, and she texted me that he was ready. He gave his life to Jesus. Like, she led him in a prayer right there.
Okay.
And the spirit left. And then there was some feedback. Okay, so he accepted Jesus, the spirit left. But then he got in a car crash like the next day. So, like, there's war going around this kid for a while, and we prayed with them for a while. And anyway, long story short, they're actually together. And this is years ago. They're together, and they're okay. But like, Christians often want to see instant salvation, you know, right. Instant gratification, and that's not really we walk with it. Okay, we have to walk with people.
Exactly.
We have to answer their questions, and also people are wrestling with spirits, and you have to give them a chance to, you know, we inform what's going on. And it is helpful when people who are seers there, they can tell you, well, I can tell you right now, there's this kind of spirits on you, and it's probably attached because of this sin. And when you're ready to confess that sin and cut that off, and then the spirit will leave. And so that's awesome. But let me tell you, Christian churches have often rejected people with this ability because maybe in America, or if it's the West, where we're skeptical of miracles, I don't know what it is exactly, but we've rejected people. And so they have this ability. They either hide it, they suppress it, or they run to the New Age, who has a supernatural view, who will teach people how to use their ability, how to use their gift. Yeah. But they're aligning themselves with what I call the domain of darkness, the kingdom of darkness. I don't like kingdom of darkness because they don't have a king. Okay. We have a king. Uh-huh. They have a prince. So it's a domain of darkness. And they're aligning themselves with the enemy, even if they want to help people. A lot of these psychics and New Agers and mediums, they want to help people. Yeah. They just have been rejected so utterly by people who are supposed to represent Jesus that they just use their gifts in really negative ways. And it's up to, but as these people are getting saved, let me tell you, there's a move of God right now where people are getting blown out of the New Age and right into the arms of Jesus. Oh, yeah. And these people are coming into churches, and pastors, if you're listening to this, you need to embrace them. You may not understand them. You may not like them. They might have tattoos, but God loves these people, and he's given this gift. And you know, you bring these people in, and they will help you. They will help you. They'll point out if there's a demon in the corner of the church, or someone has a, you know, is being followed, has a spiritual assignment on them. I mean, sometimes these seers can look outside of a church, and sometimes spirits won't come in, but they'll wait outside the property line. Okay. They'll wait like across the street so a person comes to church, the spirit following that person will wait outside. Person comes, has an encounter with Jesus, feels really wonderful, you know, like, oh, it's great. Then they go back to their sinful life. You ever hear that story? Mm-hmm. Right? They come to church, they repent, they oh, I'm changing my life. They go back out to the world and they go back to the sinful life, or they go back to the depression or whatever. Well, that's spiritual, man. That's not them just being rebellious. There's a spirit out there waiting for them, and they just, you know, and then it globs on them. You got to break that assignment. You got to lead them into who they really are. And anyway, so like seers can help you with that. They can point these things out.
Yeah.
And they can guide you in how to pray.
If the person is willing. I mean, the Lord totally respects our free will. And I was going to say that earlier because, you know, talking about the sovereignty of God versus the sovereignty of man, it's like he's given us free will. He has his will. Of course, he's working with our will, though, as well. So that's why the world is such a mess, is because we're making decisions and making the world the way we want it. Why do we want it to be hell? Come on, guys. Let's get it together. And by the way, I just wanted to speak to anybody who's in the New Age listening to this right now. First of all, we love you. Jesus loves you. And join the winning team.
Okay. Yeah, man. God is crazy. Jesus. I'm sorry that Christians have been. I know.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of people who – I love psychics. I love mediums. Jesus is crazy about you, and I'm sorry that Christians have been so rude. But there are churches out there. There are churches out there who will embrace you, who will love you for who you are and where you've been, and they will guide you into how to use your abilities for the kingdom. And the kingdom is just God's rule on earth. Yeah. So they'll guide you because you have such an amazing ability. You are the eyes.
Yes.
So
this will be eyes. We honor you.
Yeah, be the eyes for the body. Exactly. Okay. And again, it's a two-way street. So my ministry really is geared towards the church. Like, embrace these people, man. These are awesome. These are your kids. Mm-hmm. These are your neighbors. And but also it's to teach people, parents who have kids who are seeing things at night. You know what? If the kid is freaking out at night and says there's a demon in the closet, maybe there's a demon in the closet. Maybe you need to do a spiritual house cleansing. Yeah. Okay. I mean, if the kid says there's monsters there, I mean, listen to that spirit of fear. Maybe there's something going on. Mm-hmm. More than once, I've opened our window and I said, any dark demon in this room, out, you know, in the name of Jesus. And our kids play games. We have two little kids. We have three children, one teenager and two littles. And the two littles, I'll hear them playing. They go around the house shooting the dark spirits, right? Mm-hmm. Now, they can't see in the spirit realm, but we do so much. We just live so naturally in the supernatural that, you know, they'll have little pop guns, little, like, they shoot little ping pong balls. And they're like, there's a bad spirit. Bam! You know, and we tell our bedtime stories, you know. We have a bedtime story about, I'll just tell you, it's about Beowulf, all right? Beowulf. Mm-hmm. And Grendel comes and kidnaps the princess and the princesses, and then the king and the queen go, and they cast. I wrote a blog article about this, this bedtime story, and the king and queen go, and they find where Grendel has the kids, and they have their weapons, but they say, go away in the name of Jesus, and Grendel says, no, not in the name of Jesus, and then the kids start cracking up, because that's the best part of the story. Oh. No, not, yes, go away in the name of Jesus, and Grendel goes, and he poofs, and he goes away. Hmm. And the kids go, you know. Yeah. And that's just a bedtime story, but the kids, it goes into their heart, and they know how to pray. I mean, go away in the name of Jesus is one of the very first prayers we taught our oldest daughter when she was the only child, and she was the one reacting to things we couldn't see. And you know what? That prayer normally worked.
Yeah,
it normally worked. It didn't work for everything in the spirit realm. Yeah, so we did learn.
Yeah, there's power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus. I mean, he's the king, and he, whenever you are the king's representative, you have authority, and if you have Holy Spirit living in you, you have the power. Yes. So it works. But you know, to be honest, you don't even have to believe in the name of Jesus works. I had an atheist write in to the website about seeing spirits at night in her room, and I said, well, here's a prayer to say. You don't have to believe, but belief is healthy. And then she replied, well, it worked, and I'm an atheist. You know, she's like, I'm questioning my beliefs. You know, I'm like, okay, well, you know, your atheism wrong. But it works. But belief is helpful, especially to keep things from coming back. So I'm kind of all over the place in this topic.
No, one thing I just wanted to bring up, though, too, is not to be jealous of another part of the body. You got to trust Jesus on this. If you're a Christian and you have a specific gift, don't be envious or judgmental, especially, of another part of the body, you know? So I was thinking about this earlier today, thinking about, okay, the seer being the eye of the body of Christ. I thought that was really cool. And like how, like you mentioned, they do get rejected or persecuted maybe by the other parts of the body, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the body stabbing itself in the eye. Why would you do that?
Yeah, you know, that you mentioned 1 Corinthians 12, and 1 Corinthians 12:1 is normally translated, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. But the word gifts is not actually in the Greek.
Special
okay,
abilities.
It's not in there. So it's just people add that, and it's in fact people say, well, the charismatic gifts. Well, that word isn't, you know, you have to read the passage carefully. It's not just gifts. It's gifts, it's service and activities that Paul is talking about. So there's a variety of gifts, there's a variety of service or ministries, and there's a variety of activities or works or power. And we all are given some gift. He's the giver of it.
Yep.
In that passage, it says, you know, there's a reference about being jealous of some of the gifts and kind of go after them. I think Paul is a little bit criticizing that idea, that why are you freaking out about the higher gifts? There's no such thing as higher gifts. Higher gifts, really? Go after the gift that God has given you. And you know, if you want to ask the Lord about something else, fine, but go after the gift God has given you. And like, I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. What are you good at? You know, what are you good at when it comes to serving other people, to bringing people into more of God's rule, into more of God's reign in their life? What are you good at? That's your gift. Okay.
He says here at the end, he says, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And of course, he mentions prophecy about revealing Jesus, bringing the heart of the Father to someone. You know, we could talk about what prophecy is all about. You know, in Revelation 19:10, I believe it is, the angel speaking to John, he says, the spirit of prophecy, how's it go? The spirit of prophecy is the revealing of Jesus. So it's the revelation of the Lord Jesus. So it's revealing his heart to people. That's what prophecy is all about. So Paul does mention that's the most helpful gift. And so we should be praying for other gifts. Why not? You know, we can grow in other gifts. We're going to live for a very long time in the kingdom. So I'm sure we're going to be operating in all the gifts.
Yeah.
And then he says at the end, though, but let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And he goes into that chapter describing love. Love is what this is all about. And then he says right in the beginning of chapter 13, he says, even if you have all these gifts, if you don't have love, oh my gosh, it's annoying, first of all, like a resounding gong, you know? Annoying, I mean, to the kingdom of heaven, right?
Yeah, and it's the love that it's the love that is serving others. It's the love that, you know, like we want to do unto others as God has done unto God, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That is the old covenant. The new covenant is do unto others as God has done to us, which is, what has he done? He's given his son through love. You do unto others by serving others. Jesus came to serve.
Yeah.
And that's what you, but putting others first, and it is, exactly counter to the world culture, which is all about me and being selfish. But putting others first is the like the motto of the kingdom. That's what Jesus did. He came to put others first.
Yeah.
And that is what he has told us to do. Go out and serve. You know, that's preaching the gospel. You don't have to use words to preach. You serve. That is preaching the gospel.
Yeah. Showing
spiritual gifts means it's that's what grace is, right? Giving others what they don't deserve.
Yeah.
It's varieties of grace. That is what a gift is.
Yeah, I like to see all these gifts as like expressions of love and different flavors, you know? That's what it is. It's all about love expressing itself. The body of Christ, Christ being love, right? God is love. Jesus is God. And we're part of that. We're made love because we're in and united with him in this mystical union. I always love to throw the word mystical in there because it's you know, that was a favorite word of the Apostle Paul. He talks about the mysterion, the Greek word mystery, the mystery of Christ and our union with him. Speaking of seer like experiences, I just want to share one really quick. I have a whole YouTube video about it, about just encountering the Lord one night. And he just revealed to me about what it is to be one with him. You know what that means? I in you and you in me, we are one. And he kept emphasizing that. And he says, this is important, Daniel. Remember this. This is important. And so you can check out a video on YouTube, Daniel Lovett. If you Google this, you'll find it. Daniel Lovett, union with one with God, mystical union. You'll find it, hopefully. It's on the Daniel Lovett YouTube channel. But I want to resource people in like just unpacking what Christ has plugged us into. How can we operate in the body of Christ? Not be jealous of each other, not judge each other. Because if somebody else has a gift or experience, guess what? That's your gift. That's your experience. Are we not one or not? You know, are we one or not? Of course we are. We're one, so we should learn how to just respect and honor other people's gifts, and other people's experience becomes our experience. Just, you know what I mean?
So. Yeah, I mean, people get hung up about quote-unquote spiritual gifts. And again, it's really a miserable translation. I wrote a long post on my website about it. Charismatic gifts, right? People think that just means a couple gifts, but eternal life is one of the charismatic gifts. Okay, eternal life. I mean, Paul says this gift from God, and the word there is charismatic, is eternal life. So it drives me bonkers when I hear modern Christians arguing about, you know, the charismatic gifts for today. Yes, you know what? Eternal life is for today. Okay, it is. Mm-hmm. It's like these gifts are present and they're active. And I realize they make some people uncomfortable, but we really should get our theology not from English tradition, you know, or English translation. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the text and see what it says. And mm-hmm. If you're denying spiritual gifts and you're denying eternal life, well, that is absolutely ridiculous. So it's like we are one body. God has gifted the body. Why? To extend the kingdom, to bring more people into the family, to mm-hmm. bring more peace. And, you know, it's needed. It's necessary. People are desperate. They're so hungry for freedom, for salvation. That's what salvation is. Like healing of their heart now. They want salvation now. They don't want it after they die, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can bring that salvation now to people. Doesn't mean there won't be consequences for certain behaviors, but they can still have peace in the storm. And that's really, you know, that's really the point. But
oh yeah,
I you had something else there about seers. I wanted to mention, I know it's exhausting for some seers because they're always seeing the negative. And someone emailed in, how can I start seeing the positive? I only see demons. I only see like darkness. And you know, I pray and it goes away for a while. This is a spiritual discipline. Okay. It's going to take, you have to set your mind on things above. You have to start embracing how God sees things.
Yes.
And you do need to get into the presence of the, you know, Holy Spirit. You need to engage into some worship and maybe some fasting.
All right.
And this is a great time, by the way, to fast something, because it's sort of a global corporate fast among a lot of Christians until Easter.
Yeah.
But it's you need to start denying your flesh some stuff. You need to start being careful what you're watching on TV or on YouTube or on your phone, and start guarding your heart and getting into, again, it's 1 Corinthians, or it's Colossians 3, 1 through 17. Get your mind on things above, not on things below. And as you have like powerful Holy Spirit experiences, you will start to see more of the good. You'll start seeing the angels.
Yes.
Okay. And ask the Lord too. I had a kid who texted me. I met him at a youth conference, and then he kept in touch. But he texted me that he saw like a spirit, like a suicide spirit, walking in the neighborhood, and it was freaking him out. He actually, the spirit actually spoke to him, and it said, "Be glad, I'm not coming for you." And there had been a couple of suicides in the town at the time, I believe. And so he was freaking out. He's like, "What do I do? What do I do?" And I said, "Well, you know what? Let's ask the Father to release some angels to help you." Mm-hmm. And I did. I prayed this through text because I was at work. But I just asked the Father, release some angels to guard my friend Jake, and to protect him, and to go against that that suicide spirit, because he was going to go minister to some his friends who were suffering from depression. Okay, and he thought maybe the suicide spirit was coming after them. And so I said that text to my friend Jake, and then I went back to work. And then he texted me and said, "Doug, as soon as I got that text, within 15 minutes, an angel showed up and said." I wish I don't have the text in front of me, but I saved it. But the angel said, "I'm glad you called. I'm your fellow warrior, right?" Mm-hmm. And so the angel had a weapon, had a sword. Right. And so it's okay to ask the Father. I mean, the Father released angels to help Jesus. So he released angels to help Peter and some others. It's okay to ask the Father to release angels. You can't don't command angels. These are our fellow warriors.
Yes,
but we can ask the Lord. He's the commander. And we're all sort of in his army. We're in his government. Mm-hmm. And it's up to the Lord. He may actually release them. And that happened in our house. Can I share that story real fast?
Please do.
When I would leave our house, I used to travel a lot for work. And I would be gone for weeks. And every time I would travel, something would go wrong in our house, like our physical house. Like an appliance would break, or the roof would leak, or the basement would flood, or the kids would freak out, or everyone in the house would get sick, or someone would throw up. You know, it's just mayhem whenever I'd leave. And, you know, I'm not the smartest person around. So it took me a while to figure out that there was something spiritual going on. Mm-hmm. And when I left, I was somehow removing some spiritual protection. Okay. So I started praying before I left. And when I figured this out, I actually asked the Lord to release an angel to guard the house while I was gone. And then I went on my trip. And my sister-in-law is a seer. She's not like talking about it, but she is. Hmm. And she came over to help my wife with the kids while I was gone. And I found out, well, two things. One, my wife got in the van with everyone. They went out of town to go shopping. And her rear tire shredded. It just blew up. And they almost wrecked. And when she called me about that, in hysterics, I was actually ministering to somebody in Tennessee on this trip, but what she called, and I knew it was spiritual, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Look, you prayed protection over your house, but you didn't pray protection over your property. And so whenever the van drove off, the enemy attacked and tried to take out your family, but I protected you and your family." Mm-hmm. I'm like, holy crap. You know, it's like, this is intense. I was really angry at myself for not praying very well, but thankful to the Lord for protecting them. But anyway, that night, my sister-in-law, the next day, my sister-in-law, when they went to bed, she actually opened the bedroom doors to my kids' room, our kids' room and our room, which were across the hallway from each other. And our daughter asked, "Why did you do that?" And she said, "Well, last night I saw a spirit in the hallway." And my wife said, "What? Why didn't you tell me? I would have totally, you know, prayed against it and cast that sucker out." And she kind of shrugged. "I don't like talking about it, but what did it look like?" "Well, it was tall and it was sort of gold. It had like long gold hair and it had armor and it would walk, you know, and it peeked in our room and then it would walk over and peek in the kids' room and it walked back and forth." And Amy, my wife, said, "Oh, that wasn't a demon. That was an angel." And what my sister-in-law didn't realize, but my wife knew, it was like, I had asked God to send an angel, right, to guard the house. And sure enough, an angel came, you know?
Yeah.
And it's our buddy, you know, it's our friend. And, you know, how long did he stay? I don't know. They have assignments, you know, they're in a war too, and they have assignments, but you can ask the Lord, and the Lord might actually send an angel to guard.
And not that they're not with us. There's guardian angels, of course. You know, the thing I want to emphasize, though, is that people's position in Christ, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, you're packing the Trinity. I mean, greater is he who's in you than he is in the world. I want you to know how established and safe you are, because I had to learn this the hard way, and I would love to just, if I could just download, you know, just this rest that I've found and like boldness against the enemy. Because I've seen like huge like dragon things come up, you know, in my living room and just scare me down. And I'm just like, no fear. I have no fear. I'm just like, you can't touch me. What are you going to do? You know?
Well, we're seated in heavenly places. I mean, you have access to the Father. And so you just ask him.
Exactly.
Like, hey, God, I, you know, that we had this thing in our house, freaking my kid out. Would you send like... I've been praying against it, but, you know, while I'm sleeping, maybe send an angel to guard me.
Yeah.
And, you know, just pray specifically, and the Lord might say yes, you know.
Yes.
Because he loves you. Like, why wouldn't he, you know?
Yeah. And then demons, they want to harass us to even cause panic and fear, because they just feed off that fear stuff. So the point is, don't be afraid. God has not given you a spirit of fear, the Bible says, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's God's gift to you, so just receive it. You know, whoever's listening.
Arm up. Arm yourself up, too. And tell me.
Ephesians 6, right?
Yeah, arm yourself up.
What else have I seen?
Yeah.
It's always fun to talk about. I mean, I've sensed and overheard angels conversations, you know, and they're like kind of towering over me. They're like nine, you know, a lot taller than me.
Yeah, and I know they're tall. Some of them are huge.
Yeah, and they were one time debating about whether I would follow through and obey the Lord on something or not.
Oh,
you know, they're like, is he going to do it? I don't know. And one was kind of more skeptical than the other. I was like, overhearing this, I'm like, I'm going to do it, okay? So yeah. I went and followed through with what the Lord was asking me to do. So at the time, it was to give up the idol of alcohol, you know. So I poured out all my alcohol. So just following through in obedience, because that broke off spirits, because I had dreams about evil spirits being attached to this.
This was
why my daughter would wake up screaming in the middle of the night, inconsolable, like freaking out for like minutes, you know, and she's like in this in between spirit realm place, just freaking out. And we just go to prayer. And the one thing I do is just get calm, just have peace, pray from a position of rest in Jesus. Okay. Don't freak out. If you know,
you don't have to yell.
Yeah. You don't have to yell. I mean, I've said to demons, I've just said, shoo in Jesus' name, you know, and just like waved my hand ever so slightly, like, now you must go. You must bow to the name of Jesus. Own your authority and just be gentle about it. You know, you don't have to be screaming and blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't have to be that intense thing. That was like in my, you know, more of my immature stages of dealing with this. I was like all this intense because I still had so much fear gripping my heart. And it was like, Jesus came to set us free from that. Perfect love. And God is, by the way, God is perfect love. Perfect love drives out all fear. So
yeah, that was modeled for us really early in our experiences with our daughter. Mm-hmm. We had just started attending a new church. It was open to all sorts of spiritual things, but we didn't know about it. We didn't know they were. We shared with our small group what was going on, that she was reacting to things we couldn't see. And so they just suggested maybe they should come over and pray over the house and pray over us. And so they did. And I didn't know what to expect. I thought maybe something like out of a movie, like The Exorcist or something, but they were just so calm and just so casual. And just the Holy Spirit, come show us anything in this room that might be attracting spirits. And that was it. Just so, and they would just wait, and God would show them something, or if there's nothing in there, then, you know, then he wouldn't show anything. And they went from room to room, and we identified some things. And but, you know, you mentioned alcohol. For you, for me, it was like horror movies. It was like zombie movies. They're really graphic, not like torture porn movies, but like zombie movies. And I would watch a zombie movie, and my kid would, our daughter, who was, you know, so sensitive to the spirit realm, she would have a nightmare. And she's like an early warning system. All right. Yes. She, you know, she's
exactly.
This is how these kids are. These are your early warning. If your kids are having nightmares, there's something wrong. That's your early warning system mm-hmm. that something is amiss. Yes, some nightmares, some bad dreams are developmentally normal. Okay, that's fine. But if it's consistently happening over and over and over again, that's your early warning system that there's something going on. There's a sin or something that you're doing. There's some discord in the house. It's time to claim your family and your home for the Lord. It's just like when Israel went into the land of Canaan, they cleared out the land of demonic influence. Why? So they could have a place that was fit for the presence of God to come. And that's the whole point. That was, you are a temple. Your family is a temple. Your home is a temple. Okay. Yes. And that's not just a church. Yes. And the temple
you
is where
it's, temple.
It's where God rests. You as individuals, you collectively as a family. All right. So act like it. Act mm-hmm. like it. Yes. And that means giving up certain TV shows or giving up alcohol or giving up certain kinds of food or maybe shopping or maybe giving up some social media, maybe giving up certain news channels. Ask the Lord. He will tell you what you need to give up. And it may be more than one thing, but he'll be gentle. You know, sometimes he's not so gentle. Sometimes I like, look, you rip that sucker off like a Band-Aid. You need to get rid of that. Okay. But do it because it's the peace surpasses all understanding. Yeah. Boy, I just quoted King James. See, King James is good to quote. Okay. But it is. I mean, it is. It's beyond all understanding the peace you can have when you start ripping these things off out of your life.
Yeah. And one thing I was going to mention earlier, you brought it up again, is just setting yourself up for success. I just want to give our listeners some practical things. How are you going to set yourself up for success in growing with God, growing in special abilities the Spirit gives, all this stuff? How do we earnestly desire all that? Start by just like reading the gospel, like get reacquainted with Jesus. Read the Gospel of John. It's certainly my favorite. You know, in a translation that really unpacks it well for you. Like, I would highly recommend the New Living Translation. I've gotten a lot of life from that. You know, so read the Gospel of John. Watch gospel movies. There's actually a movie, Gospel of John, you can watch for free on YouTube. How about that? That's pretty amazing. Or like the Visual Bible Matthew video. I love that one. Do some programming in your life to like listen. What I do is listen to the Bible on CD in my car, or we have these Bible apps on our phone, you know, just while you're washing the dishes, just put that on and just, you know, in some letter of Paul or something, Romans or Gospel of John even, and just listen to it and absorb that good, you know, the Word of God is going to transform your mind and help to bring you into the kingdom and operating in the kingdom of God, which, by the way, is defined by Scripture as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the qualities, that's the essence, the flavor of the kingdom of God. God's rule is righteousness, which I like to just say, you know, right standing with God, or an awesome relationship with God. How about that? And the peace that passes all understanding, God's peace, Jesus' very own peace. There's not a more peaceful being in the universe than our Creator, the owner, the source of all peace. He wants to give you His peace. That's pretty awesome. And then the joy unspeakable and full of glory, you know? So I've been just diving into that recently and setting yourself up for success for the next day and, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Colossians, I am a big believer on setting your mind on the right things. Colossians 3, 1 through 17, I mentioned it earlier, but Paul describes like, put on like a coat who you are. And the coat is, or take off the old you and put on the new you. And the old you is sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire. Yeah. You know, it's anger, wrath, malice, gossip, slander, obscene talk. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
And what's the new you? So take that off. And what's the new? So these are all mental things, right? Yeah. So set your mind on what? On kindness, peace, humility, meekness, patience, compassionate hearts, bearing one another, forgiving one another, you know, loving one another. I mean, it's just a different way of living. And so for me, I had to give up like some news programs, some extremely violent mm-hmm. TV shows. Mm-hmm. And why? Because a lot of news programs are full of anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if that's where the news takes you, takes your mind and your heart, then turn it off. If you're watching a TV show that is full of anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, sexual immorality, which is a lot of television today, mm-hmm. turn it off.
Exactly.
And I tell you, and it's not going to happen instantly give it up for 21 days.
Yeah.
And then watch what happens. And I gave up, I say 21 days, I gave up the zombie movies for 21 days. And then I went back to them and I couldn't go back to them. So I've kind of given them up, you know, because it was too violent to my heart. It's too violent for my heart. Now, my friend Brian Gadawa will say horror movies are okay because they teach what is evil and what is good. And so, you know, and after all, God used horror, right? He used horror in the Bible. There's lots of horror in the Bible. Look, this is not a law. This is why we're saying ask the Lord. You know, for some people it's alcohol, some people it's horror, some people it's both. You know, ask the Lord and he will tell you. I had a friend, so one of my seer friends came to my office once, and a young woman, and she had a giant scratch on her arm. And I said, it was huge. I said, what's that scratch? And she said, I was wrestling a demon last night in my sleep and I scratched myself. And I'm like, so we had been praying for her dreams night, over and over and over again, and it would work for a while, and then it'd come back. And I finally said, look, you have a magnet in your life. You have a demonic magnet going on. And the Holy Spirit told me what it was. It was her obsession with Harry Potter. But I did not tell her that, because if I told her that, that would be a religious figure giving a law. Mm-hmm. You must give up Harry Potter. You know, I'm like, mm-hmm. no, the Lord needs to give her that. And so I said, there's a demonic assignment there's an attraction in your life to this. You need to ask the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you what it is. And she said, okay. And so she went away. A week later, she came back and said, we just came to visit, right? And then she said, well, I found out what it was. I said, well, what was it? Harry Potter.
Wow.
I said, really? And I smiled. You know, and she's like, she's like, I know you knew. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, well, you know,
letting God just do that ministering, shepherding work. He's the good shepherd, right?
She got rid of Harry Potter stuff. She burned some of it and just deleted a lot of it. And guess what? Nightmares went away.
Yeah.
And is that for everybody? I think that Harry Potter probably isn't a good thing, but that's not a law, right?
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's very good. That's very good. Like, because in the Christian way, I mean, Jesus taught us not to lord it over one another. Paul emphasized how much, like, he did not to lord it over your faith, but to be partners with you for your joy, right?
We serve.
And we're servant leaders, and we're the whole, you know, shepherding movement. I'm going to be your boss, and I'm going to govern your affairs, and da da da. That was evil. That was like,
didn't work, did it?
No, it didn't work. It doesn't
work. Up. I wonder why it blew up.
Gee, yeah. And why do people rebel in families if they have an overbearing parent? You know, that's they're lording it over. It's like, how do we partner with them for their joy, our children? How do we raise them in that way?
There's one head to the body, and that is Jesus.
There's Jesus, right? Yes, and we're all brothers and sisters, equal, at the foot of his cross, drinking his blood, just to get a little graphic there.
Yeah, isn't that great, though? That's good. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood.
Drinking his blood. Love it. Yummy.
I love how he decided to shock people.
Yeah, it's like limitless blood, too, if you watch that movie. You know, you get a lot of wisdom from Jesus' blood. It's really tasty. I'm drinking some right now.
Oh, boy.
But I wanted to mention, too, about repentance. Being a transformation of the way you think. You know, this is how I've come to see this. And we have to rethink about who God is. We have to rethink about what sin is. You know, sin is anti-love, by the way. Any kind of sin is anti-love, and God is committed to eradicating it from your life. Anything that is not love in your life, God is at war with.
Okay, I like that. Anti-love, that's good.
Yes, so don't partner with that anti-love. It's going to hurt when God's actively trying to remove it from your life, and you double down and you're a sin clinger. Don't be a sin clinger. And the wrath of God is actually for you, not against you. And that's a beautiful thing. We can part ways with our sin and find, you know, all that love, right? His wrath is, I've learned, is an expression of his love, because God is love and he has wrath. He has wrath against sin that's destroying you. He loves you that much. That's beautiful. Like, so I just wanted to share Romans 12, 1 and 2 about this whole repentance topic. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Mm-hmm. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Yay, God!
Yeah, I mean, Jesus's message was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent means change your worldview, change how you think,
your paradigm,
change your perspective,
your
change
worldview,
your paradigm.
Yes.
Start thinking like God thinks. Like, because you're not thinking the right way.
Okay, so what's one of the biggest paradigm shifts you've experienced in your life in regards to this journey with Christ?
Oh, man. The kingdom is now, and the kingdom is not yet. You know, the kingdom is now, and it's coming. Yeah.
There's
I had
more to come.
My big paradigm shift was that this present age, the evil age, would continue into the future, and then there would be like terrible wrath and judgment and explosions and stuff. But what the Lord has taught me is that no, God's rule is breaking into the present now.
Now.
And it started with Jesus. It started with Jesus, then with 12, and then 72, and then 3,000, and now what, 1.5 billion? So it's the kingdom, which is God's rule, is breaking in now. And whenever someone is healed, whenever someone is raised from the dead, whenever someone is delivered from a demon, someone is set free from depression, that is God's kingdom breaking in that area. Mm-hmm. And we can walk in that kingdom freedom. Now, it doesn't mean bad things won't happen. That's not the point. But the point is you can walk in God's kingdom even when bad things happen. Mm-hmm. Even when things happen. So
absolutely.
That has been my paradigm. And I'm still shifting my paradigm to think like trying to think like how God thinks.
Yeah,
That's what miracles do. I mean, it's supposed. That's why Jesus said, "Drink my blood and eat my flesh." He's trying to shatter people's paradigm.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. The kingdom is here, and now go out and be my kingdom. You know, bring it. You know, that's the Lord's prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. Well, what's the Lord's will? The Lord's will is not for you to have demons attacking you. So, what's God's help so you can see the demons, seers? Okay, you know, and so that's just, how about that for circling back? But
way to go.
That's like a life mission for me, is to understand more of what God's rule is, and God's reign is here on the earth and into eternity So I love Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's, you know, like, yeah, that's what repentance is. It's a mental exercise, but usually it's coupled with emotion. It can't just be mental. It needs to have some emotion behind it, because then it sticks. Then your life starts to change. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like me bursting into tears, you know, sharing the prodigal son story. That the emotions are so tied to this radical redemption and the love of the Father, you know, just so moves me.
I love that. I've just been contemplating that as well. I just wrote an article about that.
Oh yeah, speaking of your article, let's give people your website again. So, I'm searsc.com.
Yeah, so. Sears C, S-E-R-S-C, Sears C, because Sears do C after all, searsc.com. Yep, it's easy. And then I do have a podcast also, but you can find all that information on the website.
Yep.
Just started. I know it's crazy, guys. I you know, some of your listeners are like, what are they talking about? I know it's crazy. It is. It's supernatural. And in the West, we have a hard time with the supernatural. But the fact is, all of life is supernatural.
Yeah. Wow. I'm seeing an article by you on your website just the other day. What does it mean to repent? I did not even see that.
I know you're talking about the prodigal son.
And then here's a picture of the prodigal son. Oh my gosh. Divine appointment. I did not even know this was here.
Yeah. I got emotional writing it. I was preparing a Bible study at my church. And just where we tend, I lead a small group. And I was working on one slide on repent, just one slide. I ended up found a thesis somebody did. I ended up reading like 70 pages about what that word means, and I was like in tears when I was done. Really good.
Yeah, good, man. Yeah, this beautiful salvation Jesus has plugged us into. By the way, that's what Sozo Talk Radio is all about. Sozo, of course, means salvation. But that's such a rich word. It's like to heal, to you know, rescue from danger. It includes all this stuff, right? To make whole and healed. And
in the Old Testament, it'd be like shalom, okay? Hebrew word would, I don't know, you know, these are two different languages, but it's shalom. And wow. God, and too many Christians think of God's peace as like, kind of like a Buddhist, you know, like, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm at one with whatever. No, that's not God's peace. God's peace is dynamic. It is active. It is bringing, it is bringing restoration. It is bringing redemption. I mean, it's motion. It's bringing salvation. It's bringing healing. Mm-hmm. It's bringing finances where there aren't finances. Now, don't read that. It's not prosperity gospel, but it's, you know, it's like bringing, it's overturning poverty. Mm-hmm. It's overturning the demonic. It's overturning injustice. That is God's peace. That is shalom. That's what that word means. Mm. And I think in the New Testament, I think the word is sozo. Wow. Right, it's healing, it's salvation, it's dynamic. It's not passive. It's not something that happens after you die. It's something that happens. It should happen now. You'll get more of it after you die, maybe. But you know, it happens now.
Exactly. Like we go to heaven now, not when we die. We're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We are blessed. Let's start unpacking these Christmas gifts that God's given us. You know, that's our great joy to start walking in everything He has for us. And it's one blessing after another. It's blessing upon blessing. It's with the Lord. And He's come to bring us abundant life, life abundant and to the full of life, full of peace, full of joy, full of silliness sometimes. You know, we can joke around with each other and with the Lord even. He tells the best jokes.
There's someone at our church who was dealing in meth, okay? Yeah. And so he got arrested, and then he was set out, was released, and I think he dealt with some more in drugs. So he was a double felon. And while he was waiting to be sentenced, he was reunited with his daughter, and then they started coming to church, and then he got saved. Yeah. And they got baptized together, this father and his little teenage This little teenage daughter, and, you know, completely changed. This guy's life completely changed, right? Wow. He went from drug dealing, having lost his kid, to complete transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's beautiful.
And he was at the sentencing. They made him sound like the worst person ever. Because he had been the worst person ever, but he had changed. Yeah. And we were hoping that he would get the minimum sentence, but he did not get the minimum sentence. There was very little grace, you know, in the world system.
Yeah.
But he said, you know what? I know this is the consequences, and I'm going to preach the gospel in prison.
Wow.
So here's a guy who his life changed, but there were still earthly consequences to what he had done.
Yeah.
And while we were praying and fasting that he would, you know, not have to go to prison and that he could be with his daughter and continue growing, you know, in the Lord, and that did not happen. That prayer was not answered.
Mm-hmm.
But he is saved now, and he's in prison. What is he doing in prison? He's expanding the kingdom.
Yes.
You see how his mind was completely changed and renewed?
Yeah, that's
you know, and he'll be out in a few years, and
all right,
and he's going to be with his daughter. But how many people is he going to say? You know, I was so angry at the prosecutor and the judge.
Yeah.
But then God spoke to me and said, "What are you talking about, man? He's my ambassador. Are you kidding me, Doug?
Yeah.
He's my missionary. He's excited to go to prison. He would have preferred this. He would have preferred being out with his daughter, of course. But this is his mission. And sometimes, as in the Lord's army." Excuse me. Sometimes the Lord's army, we're given assignments we don't necessarily want, but we go with them, we go into it with joy.
Yeah. Yes. And work as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being mindful.
Proud of him. His daughter's proud of him. You know, and wow. So I'm still learning in this. You know, there's injustice, but God turns the injustice and makes it just.
Yes.
We don't always see it. And
well,
maybe,
you know, and there's so much beyond this life too that you know, that it's working a great reward of souls and expanding the kingdom, and you know, the gospel is going to touch people's hearts because God's word does not return void. It's
right.
And the Spirit's going to be on the job and all over this man. Let's lift him up in prayer, people.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't actually remember his name.
Okay, that's fine. We'll just pray for him anyway right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, just to be strengthened with power and insight and wisdom and divine appointments and the perfect response to everything he encounters. You know, the God response, and to love its fellow inmates into the kingdom of God.
Yeah, God, I ask you again to release some angels to go with him in that dark place.
Yes.
You know, there's darkness everywhere. God, send some good warrior angels to be with him and strengthen him, and also his daughter, and just strengthen them both. And the future break into the present, the future of grace and perfect grace, love and joy and peace, wherever he's at, wherever she's at. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Ooh, yeah. Of course, I remember his name as soon as we get off. But here,
yeah,
but
I know.
You know, yeah, that is. I just remember when they got baptized. It was right before his sentence. It was just so powerful.
Yeah. Well, let's. I don't know if we're gonna wrap this up or if we have more stuff to talk about. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I can always talk about the Lord, you know, but it's
you know what, we're gonna reward the people who've listened thus long with a kind of like a fun story or something.
Well, let me just say too, I have a book out called Peace in Your House.
All right, there you go. See, he's got a book at searsc.com. Can we pick that up?
Yeah, Sears, Peace in Your House: Spiritual Cleansing of Life and Land. It's a little dense, okay, like, but I just had to lay the foundation. You just can't assume people understand stuff.
You were thorough.
Yeah, it was thorough. The next book won't be so dense, but I tell you, it's designed as a Bible study. It's designed as a small group study. There's study questions. There's activities to do, you know, where you sort of activate your faith through different exercises. And it's basically Romans 12, 1 and 2, like you just read. It's getting your mind set on things above, renewing your mind, and then understanding who you are in Christ, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and then boom, anything in your house that is not of God is it doesn't stand a chance. You know, it just doesn't stand a chance.
Good. Yeah.
So
that's what we pray.
Funny story. I don't know if this is funny or not, but I was praying once with my friend Jerry. We were part of a church plant and a few years ago, and I was praying. And just in my prayer, you know how Holy Spirit-led prayers go. You just kind of say whatever comes to your mind. I said, Lord, something like, Lord, please release an angel with a trumpet and a sword, and had that angel blow the trumpet so people get out of bed this morning, you know, Sunday morning, right? And Jerry started laughing at me. And I'm like, I know it's kind of silly. He said, No, you know, you already have an angel assigned to you with a trumpet and a sword. And I said, I do. He just laughed. See, you didn't know that? Man, you're dumb. You know? And I'm like, oh. Right. He said, you hardly ever have him use it, though. I'm like, oh. Blow the bell, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell the listeners, too, a story, a couple of stories real quick. Of course, it would take up way too much time to tell you all the demons I see and blah, blah, blah. I don't even want to talk about all that. I do want to hear a real tangible story. I met a fallen angel. I was thinking about this the other day, and you know that movie City of Angels?
Yeah.
That stuff's for real. You know, there are fallen angels walking around as, you know, they look pretty normal as humans. And same with angels too. They appear as humans. The Bible says, don't forget to entertain strangers because, some of you are entertaining angels unaware.
Yep.
Right. This is for real serious. This happened. Okay. I picked up a hitchhiker, who I firmly believe in my heart of hearts that this was a fallen angel that I picked up, you know, and I drove him like across states, so I got very familiar with what this guy was all about. And and we stopped at a restaurant in this weird location, and the way that he broke into conversation with this other girl there at this restaurant in this, you know, town, like, It was just bizarre. Like it was with like I got an inside kind of conversation between two fallen angels there. It
Oh,
was like,
sure. Yeah.
and then so here's what happened. Later on, I'm driving, and this guy, of course, he's giving me the creeps, right? But at the same time, I'm like a real nice guy, and so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna give you a ride, whatever. How far are you
Yeah.
going? This was like many, many hours. And I see on the side of the road this guy, this old cowboy dressed all in white with a white cowboy hat, and I'm like, I'm picking him up, and he's like, no, don't do it, don't pick this guy up. I'm like, I'm picking him up. So I pick him up, and the other guy, he's like, oh, just let me off here, let me off here. He wants to get away, and so I'm like, oh, this is interesting. What's going on here? And then this man, this old man, cowboy man, at least appearing as such, he started talking very softly in a soft voice. I had to like lean over to listen close. He talked very softly about the war that was went on in heaven, and how, it saddened his heart, and tears started to come, just flow down as he's talking about the war in heaven. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have a very strong suspicion. I'm in the presence of an angel. I just picked one up. And if not, maybe even, maybe even the Lord Jesus himself could appear like that. He appeared on the road to Emmaus disguised in a different form, to those guys. I love that story, by the way, the road to Emmaus story, where he's like just walking along with them as a stranger, and didn't our hearts burn within us while we spoke with him, they said afterwards. So these things happen. And also, I've encountered so many stories of people saying, like near-death experiencers in particular, who talk about nurses, oftentimes, like, well, not oftentimes, but there are nurses who are angels. They're in those places to bring the kingdom of heaven. They're on assignment as nurses in hospitals and things.
Oh,
Okay,
wow. Yeah.
yeah, it's really cool. So I was reminded of a story like that today. People are gonna think I'm weird or something if I, for some of these stories I share. But like I go into nursing homes every day to do concerts to bring the gospel and gospel music primarily. And I went into this one place, and it was just hell on earth. It was horrible. I mean, the neglect that was going on or whatever, and people are just crowded. I mean, I could barely like walk through this thing, and they're just kind of filthy, and nobody's like really paying attention to any of them. And this one guy's like a racist, and he's like spitting on and throwing water on this woman who has an ex some more extra melanin in our skin in their in her skin. You know what I'm saying? And swear words are flying this one that, and it's just like, oh my gosh, what did I walk into? And so I share what I shared, and the gospel and the gospel music, and tried to brighten their day and bring a little bit of kingdom there. And it was about maybe a year later or something. I go back to that same facility, and it's so radically different. It is like completely turned around. And when I walked in the door, this is strange, okay? People started greeting me in the hallway. Oh, hi, Daniel. Oh, it's good to see you, Daniel. Have a nice day, Daniel. And like, I'm like, what? How do you know me? What? And the thought crossed my mind. Maybe they were angels, and we're like, we're in this thing together, and they know my name, and we're, we're on mission together.
Yeah, I mean, you're a worship leader, right? So,
Yes. Yeah.
yeah, you totally usher in God's presence then, or you usher people into God's presence.
Yeah. And it's
We
been so rewarding in the nursing homes too, doing
I
this.
bet. Yeah, my daughter and I were at a worship service once, and she it was it was awesome, right? It's just a worship service. It was just that's all we did that. And she was looking up in the middle of the auditorium, up in this, up in the air. And I thought, oh, I said, are you seeing angels? Because I've heard of lots of seers see angels during worship, and but she wasn't she had never seen an angel during worship. And I thought, are you seeing an angel right now? And she said, nope. I said, what are you seeing? She said, I see a throne. And I went, huh. So I went back, got my Bible, and there's a passage that says, in King James, it's God inhabits the praises of his people. But that's not a very good translation. A more modern translation says, God is enthroned on the praises of his people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And, you know, so it's like somehow she was seeing in the spirit a throne.
Yeah.
You know, God being enthroned there on the praises of his people. So it's awesome. The spirit world is very complicated. You know, it's
I've been researching it for a long time. So
yeah, it's not everything you see. It's just on the dark side. It's not, they're not just demons. There's all sorts of whole ranks and files and all sorts of little, some of them just little four-legged monsters. And some of them are giant principalities, giant territorial spirits. And it's real. But, you know, who's even more real? This is the kingdom of light, kingdom of God breaking in.
Yeah.
And you're breaking in stronger every day. And I know the world seems dark. Get your mind off the dark. Turn it to the light. And you'll start seeing God's working. If you're a seer, man, get in church, start using your gift for the God, for the Lord. If you're not on the Lord's side, come on, what are you doing? It's time to join the winning team.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a pastor, welcome these people. If you're a parent, you're not alone. Your kid's not crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's your kid.
They don't need drugs.
They don't. Teach them, you know, get the sin out of your life and teach them how to say, go away in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. And start using their gift too.
Yeah.
Right. All right. This has been a really enriching conversation, Doug. We just met. This is our first conversation we've ever had.
Yeah.
It feels like we've been friends for years.
Yeah, totally.
I would just like to wrap it up with just you praying for the listeners. How about that?
Sure. All right. God, I thank you for this opportunity. You are so awesome. Man, you made the stars and you made the earth and you made everything in between. Lord, you are just an incredibly gifted, brilliant creator. I mean, it's just awesome. And you made us to be your representatives on the earth. You made us to be your co-regents, your co-rulers, so that we could work your will on earth as you work it in heaven. God, we ask for more power to work your will, to bring your kingdom on the earth. We ask for just more of your grace. We ask for you to release grace upon grace, increase our faith. God, help us to step out into the gifts that you have given to work more of your will on earth in our own lives, in the lives of our family, in the lives of our community, so we can begin changing this world to reflect more of what you want it to be. And I ask all of this in the name of your awesome, mighty Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So you mentioned to reflect his glory. And that's actually the name of our band, our worship leading, you know, worship band.
Did I say that?
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, Reflect. Yeah. So I was actually planning to share a song at the very end of this episode here of off of our album, Reflect Worship, which you can check out at reflectworship.com or reflect.bandcamp.com. I'm not sure you're going to be able to hear it though. So
it'll just play.
Yeah. Just you'll get to hear it later, but I'll send it to you anyway, directly. But, let's sign off here and I'll end with just this song. And God bless you, Doug. And thank you for the insight and just partnering with me here tonight and Jesus to bring more awareness to this gift and special ability the Spirit brings. And I look forward to future conversations.
Thanks, Daniel. It's been a lot of fun. It's been really edifying. It's awesome. Thanks.
Good. God bless you, man.
My sin to you. From your love will not hide. Oh, bring me to the light, to the light. Oh, bring me to the light, to the redemption's to be found. You have done all that it takes to set us free, to know you, God, and to finally know your grace. How and wrong, I won't deny. I confess my sin to you. From your love, I will not hide.